This is a test of a microphone, this Blue Yeti microphone. I'm here with my four-month-old son, Basil. Basil, can you say hi? Can you say hi? Basil. Ah. And he doesn't want to talk right now. Oh, there he is. Hello? I'm going to read some of a blog that I wrote to test this microphone. This is blog number 24, The End and Beginning of a Year, written on January 3rd, 2026, about 4 days before Basil was born. It's a Saturday morning, and there is a consistent rainfall with an occasional howl of wind which presses up against the window of our living room. I am drinking a warm cup of coffee with a nice soundscape created by a YouTube video called Fantasy Medieval Music for Focus and Calm, The Dwarf's Long Mountain Journey. It's an interesting thing. My wife, Karong, is due any hour or day now to give birth to our first son, Basil. That's you, buddy. The anticipation is overwhelming, as we have been in this state for about a week now. We went to the hospital yesterday when her contractions became more intense and frequent. That's right. But after several hours of monitoring, the nurse sent us back home, but we will likely return soon. Little did we know. In this moment of waiting, I decided I would like to reflect on my running in the year 2025. It was a year of ups and downs. The first 6 months of the year... Things will go crazy. The first 6 months of the year were entirely dedicated to training and preparing for the Tahoe 200 race. I had known since July 2024 that I would be running this event. The longest official race I had done prior was a 56-mile race at lower altitudes. Tahoe would be quadruple this distance and at a higher altitude, so the training required would be immense. Yeah, that's right, buddy. Oh, he spat. Hit pause.
He's looking at a screen.
Yeah. And continue. Huh? In early January, my left hip / glute area became an issue. The nerves and tendons had some inflammation, which became bad enough that I reduced my running to 1 mile per day, in parentheses, to keep my run streak, and switched over to cycling and strength training. The inflammation lingered until about mid-March. This was not ideal training for a 200-mile foot race. Eventually, the inflammation died down, and I was able to start running big miles in the Santa Ynez Mountains behind Santa Barbara.
Oh, what you fussy about? Huh? What's up, Basil? Oh.
Do some jumps.
Whee! Whee!
Big jumps. Okay. In the final week of April, I did a 4-day, quote, mini block, running 90 miles and 15,000 feet of vert. The next week, I went back down to the base level I built around 60 to 65 miles and 10 to 12,000 feet of vert. I found that this strategy worked well. I was able to continue training after the heavy 4-day block. I did another back-to-back long run weekend 2 weeks later, the first day being my longest run of the whole training cycle. It was a 10-hour, 40-mile, 12,000 feet of vert run. I followed it the next day with a 21-mile, 5,000-feet vert run. Training rolled smoothly into the next week. These mini-blocks worked well for me in the middle of a larger training cycle. I will keep this strategy going forward. When it came time to toe the starting line of Tahoe 200, I felt well-trained and ready. But boy, did I not know what I was in for. The high mountain air and the multi-day distance was something I could not prepare for without experiencing. And experience it I did. Here is my three-part race report. A link to it. There were many huge highs and deep lows throughout Tahoe, and I learned many lessons along the way that I can take forward to future big efforts. There were two major takeaways from the race. The first being a confirmation that the multi-day trail race is the event I want to continue as the focus of my running. The second takeaway being the name of my son. My pacer, Helen, had the clever idea of thinking of baby names to keep my brain active during the late stages of the race. The name Basil, that's you, came to me seemingly out of nowhere, like a gift from the universe, or maybe from the Tahoe environment. The Tahoe area is truly magical. Oh, ow, you just slapped me right in the eyeball. Crazy baby moves. Where was I? It took a while to process the race and the days after finishing. I was a bit disappointed in my performance because of my finishing time was very far off from what I thought was possible. But my attitude shifted more towards the positive as the days went on. There is a lot to improve on, but now I know more about what to expect. Hey buddy, are you getting a little fussy? Want some more jumps? Some more swooshes? Okay, maybe you're a little fussy. Oh, okay, might have to hit pause on reading this for a minute. Hey. Be a multi edit thing. Figure that out in post or whatever that is. Don't know what post means. Yeah, we're reading standing up. A couple weeks after the race on July 4th, I ran our local Semana Nautica 5K trail race. I think I got into the top 10. We have some fast runners here in SB. Fast trail runners, that is. My legs seemed to recover within a couple weeks after Tahoe, which was quicker than I expected, but my heart and lungs took a bit longer. It felt like my cardio engine just did not have the same power to push. I attempted to get back into my regular training volume, about 50 miles and 7 to 10,000 feet of vert per week. There were many false starts, as random areas would give a bit of pain. I had known going into the year that Tahoe 200 would be the main focus of 2025, but I wanted to take advantage of the fitness and endurance. I wanted to take advantage of the fitness and endurance I had built by planning a late fall effort. My friend John Sutherland was planning to go for a sub 24-hour, 100-mile at Tierra Redonda, a fixed time race in mid-November. I decided that I would try to go for that goal as well, so I needed to get my training volume built up again. In the first week of September, I decided to start a challenge I had thought about for a while. I would climb the steep, scrambly Arlington Peak every day for a week. 7 days, 7 summits. I was hoping this challenge would be a good kickstart into training. I got it done, but it was a tough challenge. I wrote about that experience here, a link to blog number 20. A week on a mountain. Continuing, I was able to sustain a couple 60-mile weeks, including a couple track workouts with the Tuesday group at the UCSB track. Fitness was slowly built, but things occasionally felt off or rusty. At the end of September, a large group of SB trail runners made the trek to Mammoth Lakes to support and pace Helen in her effort at the Mammoth, a 214-mile race through the epic Eastern Sierra Mountains. I went up for Friday to Sunday morning to help her group. I owed her massively for her support given to me at Tahoe 200. She had an absolutely killer race performance, finishing fourth female in under 65 hours. Truly inspiring. I learned a lot watching her race. In the month of October, Steven Searer continued the Santa Barbara Trail League for Season 3. Participants organized into teams of four runners. The whole team completes four trail routes, in parentheses, created by Steven, usually 3 to 6 miles with some vert, within a month. Teams can run the routes together or solo, and as many times as they want within the month. Cross-country style scoring is used to rank team performances. I ran with my usual team, Lyles, Lydia, and Emily. We were Team Dirty Bottoms Hiking Club. These routes gave me a chance to run fast a couple times a week to build some speed while keeping my mileage up. Even with a couple of us battling injuries, our team placed third for the mixed division. Also in the month of October, SB trail runner Christopher St. Jean organized the Cul-de-Sac Marathon, a community fun run that uses a sweet loop connecting the steep front country trails with the remote backcountry. Some folks did a partial loop, while a few of us completed the full loop. Local SB trail folks, John Sutherland, Will Raddus, and Claire Mathieu, were kind enough to set up a couple aid stations along the route to support us. It was an epic long day. By the end of October, I felt like my training was not really at the point to justify spending the money to run the Tierra Redonda race with John in November. I decided I would just go out to support him on his effort. John's sister, Esther, was also running, going for her first 50-mile effort, also her first ultra-distance effort. Additionally, Jeremy was running the 48-hour race, hoping to get to 100 miles. I couldn't miss it. All of these folks had helped support me at Tahoe. Jeremy ended up getting his 100-mile distance, and Esther got her 50 miles. John fought hard, but ultimately called it at 66 miles due to stomach issues and some tough weather. A noble effort.
Basil, are you doing okay, buddy? Okay, might be another pause break.
I decided to shift my focus to the Camino Cielo Loop, an epic 47-mile route that uses all the SB front country trails and connects to the back country, encircling the East Camino Cielo Road on the mountain ridge behind Santa Barbara. My plan was to establish an FKT, fastest known time, in the unsupported style. The route had been done in the supported style. Christopher St. Jean and Chalice Popke hold the current supported FKTs with impressive times. I did several long runs on the route in November to scope out water sources and navigation. I decided to go for my attempt on Saturday, December 6th. I had a great adventure, mostly in good spirits, with a few challenging sections. I wrote about my run here, link to blog number 23, The Solo Trek I Needed. Continuing, I ended up finishing the route in 11 hours and 44 minutes, about 1.5 hours slower than Christopher's supported time. I plan to go for this route again, unsupported, next year likely. It's an epic, local route that feels good to accomplish solo. My 2025 running had some big highs and some deep lows. I worked through injury, and I finished the hardest race of my life so far. Overall, I'm satisfied with my year in running, but I hope to continue to improve next year. According to Strava, I ended the year with 2,278 miles and 392,000 feet of vert. That's an average of 44 miles per week. I hope to be able to increase my average weekly mileage to 50 miles in 2026, so I'll need to run 2,600 miles this year. In order to do this, I will need to avoid injury as much as possible. I have learned that a key piece to avoid injury is working on leg strength with exercises such as wall sits, lunges, and single leg squats. As far as race events in 2026, I have not committed to any races yet, but my plan is to go for 2 100-mile races with no crew. I would just rely on race organization support and my own planning. A couple events that I will likely do are the local SB9 Trails 35-mile race in March, the Coyote Two Moon 100-mile race in Ojai in the month of May, and potentially the Lake Sonoma 100-mile race in October. I will likely finish 2026 with another unsupported Camino Cielo Loop FKT attempt. As I write this year-end/beginning-of-year blog, my wife might go into labor at any moment. It is now January 3rd, 2026. The year is sure to begin with the most joyous event of all, the birth of our son, Basil. I'm ready to support Kurong in an experience surely more challenging than the ultramarathons I ran this year, the process of childbirth. My frequent music selections of 2025 are below. Some runners definitely choose not to listen to music or some other technological audio while they run. I am not that type. I enjoy listening to music as I run across landscapes. It has the power to enhance the experience, sometimes weaving into the landscape and shifting my mind into a flow state. I use the Bone Conduction headphones, the Shox Open Run, which allow me to hear the outside world along with my music. The crunch of my footsteps on the dirt, the chirping of birds, the stream of a creek is still part of the experience. I typically listen to artists that might fall into the, quote, jam band category, such as The Grateful Dead or Phish. The improvisational nature of the music meshes well with the flow of running, especially trail running, where each step and stride has to adapt with the changing terrain. In 2025, I listened to many live recordings from the indie rock jam band Goose. Ever since discovering their music around 2019, I've been a big fan of the band. They released 2 studio albums this year and toured extensively. The album Chain Your Dragon was the soundtrack to many of my runs. I also listen to a lot of live recordings from Billy Strings, a bluegrass artist that leans into the, quote, jam improvisational style. Billy's technical skills on the guitar are incredible. He has the ability to weave classic bluegrass licks with wild, cacophonous sounds that take the listener on a journey. Another bluegrass group, Green Sky Bluegrass, was a frequent accompaniment on my runs. I really enjoy the songwriting and vocal style of mandolinist Paul Hoffman. It's not always jam bands going through my ears. Indie country folk artist Zach Bryan was also a frequent listen for me in 2025. His album, The Great American Bar Scene, is incredible. I turned 28 years old in 2025, and found myself listening to the track titled 28 many times. Really, all his studio albums are masterful collections of songs that are put together with purpose. The song Rusty Cage by Johnny Cash, originally written by Chris Cornell of Soundgarden, that's an interesting cover, became the soundtrack to my race at Tahoe 200. I played it many times and it got me through some low points. Another song, Cherokee Purples by American Aquarium, was a frequent listen. My wife, Kurong, also enjoyed this song, particularly the bright guitar riff. These are some of my most frequent listens and music highlights of the year. I look forward to more running and music in 2026. Let it be a good one. Well, that's interesting to read back through this blog. Because, man, things have changed a lot. I'm most likely not going to do 2 100-mile mountain races this year. Instead, I'm going to do a 48-hour fixed-time race on a paved loop, 1-mile loop. And then I don't know what else is after that. We'll see. But it'll be interesting. The end.